This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Well, we were nowhere near where we should be. I'm disappointed with myself. I really should have done better in picking the team. We looked jaded, and I've stressed how important September is. We're all aware of that. We have to start winning a few games.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me, he went AWOL for a week when I was trying to record a show, but I bumped into him in L5 of the Lower Holt, Dan Rogers of villaunderground.com. Welcome, and good to see you against Middlesbrough.
Yes, indeed. What an enjoyable evening out we had.
The bit main plus was there's still a roof on the Holt end, so we didn't get wet.
To protect us from the monsoon.
Couple of more years in the championship and they'll be selling off that corrugated iron just to pay for John Terry's extra season when he's 40 years old. So I didn't know you had a brother. Was that your brother?
Yeah, well, not my lover. No, sort of. Yeah, he's a brother, and I'm kind of thinking of it as a younger organ carrier for when in the future when I need to harvest him. It's not such a good idea taking him to Villa Park because he'll be as haggard as I am.
Yeah, I would warn against that. I would have him kind of sipping peppermint tea somewhere. And
Duly noted.
Just, you know, watching the Hallmark movie channel or something. So he's just pure when it comes to that harvest. Good of your parents to think ahead, actually, to make sure that you lived a fuller life.
Most considerate. And when the time does come, I'll make sure that he's duly thanked. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, keep him away from Villa Park. That was good advice that you gave yourself there. I haven't done much apart from I discovered Rick and Morty, finally. Have you seen that show?
Me too. I have not the first clue what's going on in it, but I did find myself laughing.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Hey, Morty, let me ask you a question real quick. Does evil exist? And if so, can one detect and measure it? Rhetorical question, Morty. The answer's yes, you just have to be a genius. Cute. Your sister's boss gave me a microscope that would have made me retarded.
Ooh, oh boy, Rick. I don't think you're allowed to say that word, you know?
Morty, I'm not disparaging the differently abled. I'm stating the fact that if I had used this microscope, it would have made me mentally retarded.
Okay, yeah, but I don't think it's about logic, Rick. I think the word has just become a symbolic issue for powerful groups that feel like they're doing the right thing.
Well, that's retarded.
The only thing else I've kind of discovered belatedly was Gay of Thrones. Have you seen that? That's brilliant. It's every Tuesday after a Game of Thrones episode, and this has been going on, I think, since season one. I think it started later than season one, but a hairdresser in LA, a gay hairdresser in LA, recounts what happened in the last episode to whoever he's doing the hair of.
Right.
And He has random people, and he calls all the characters by different names. He has his own name for them, like the Night King is called the approachable Karl Lagerfeld. And I think, was it Arya? He calls her Mini Kirsten Stewart. Or he changes her name quite a lot. So he calls them all by these like kind of pop culture reference names.
Just when you think it's the last time we're ever going to see Jon Snow's gorgeous cinnamonable face, Christina Aguilera and her dragons make everyone some delicious creme zombie.
But while Jon Snow was showing her what his little hands could do, approachable Karl Lagerfeld announces, Icebeer's all in.
Very funny. It's on YouTube. Just check it out. Theon Greyjoy actually joins him in the chair.
Oh, the real one. Oh, fantastic.
If you're a Game of Thrones fan and you've got a sense of humor, it's worth a watch. Anyway, let's get back. Well, let's not even get back. We haven't started yet. Let's get on to the Villa universe, where comedy is in short supply at the moment.
Well, other than on the pitch.
Other than on the pitch, especially coming from Scott Hogan's ass, mainly. With his wonderful clearance off the line. 3 points to get us going, and 3 points are something that Villa still struggling to get. That's why we call this section of the show 3 points. I heard, and I didn't know this, and this is on good authority, this is like the gossip on the Holt, but somebody met somebody I can't... give the name away, but basically they're working in at Villa Park. I mean, this may be common knowledge, and I may be slow to the party here, but do you know Keith Wyness did an interview and he was getting excited about that we were chasing these two Premier League players that are pretty good.
Right.
Right at the end, and we didn't actually get them across the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, those two players are Jack Wilshere, who apparently wasn't up for this move, and then later on his representative said, well, actually, you're not going to get bugger all, so let's go for it. And I think they tried to rehatch the deal, but didn't get it over the line. And then the other one was Loic Remy.
Really?
You know, the striker that always turns up on loan somewhere.
I'd heard little rumour about the Wilshere one, but I have to say I haven't given it much credence. The Remy one doesn't surprise me, but that's new information.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at those two players, and in terms of this Bruce building a team, which hasn't really happened, it's this kind of like a Robert Snodgrass. It's like this stockpiling of players that individually, you know, let's say they're half decent, they're Premier League players, but where they're fitting in, he's got nobody on the left at the moment. Now, with Andre Green managing to get injured, you know, just after every Villa fan saying, well, if he gets injured, we've got a problem on the left.
Yep, he did say that.
Gets injured quicker than
it's
would
a bad
fear.
One as well, isn't it? That's the,
yeah, he's out for months. Mm. So now we've got this weird balance situation of Robert Snodgrass, left footer, refusing to play on the left because...
Yeah, about that left foot of mine, I... Actually, I'm a right-sided left footer.
And so that forces either a Doma or Elmo, if he's going to play on the wing, to play, obviously, on their weaker foot on the left. So I don't know.
We're currently doing, which is converting Birka Bjarnason into a one-man left-sided... That's why I do feel sorry for the guy.
Well, we'll talk about him later. Anyway, number two, Birmingham looks like on the way to getting the Commonwealth Games, as Wyness broke the news to us at this fan consultation group meeting. I haven't actually done my own research on this since, so have you?
I've got my eye on this one. Birmingham announced this like it's a good idea. They're only the preferred bidder for the UK.
Right.
Okay. So they've got to negotiate, you know, we've got to come up against places like Kuala Lumpur and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. And I imagine that, you know, Birmingham will be showpiecing the piles of rubbish strewn across the streets, you know, as part of, you know, I don't know, art installation or something we could feature it as.
But I was sure that, like, Australia had nothing going on. Kuala Lumpur or Malaysia had it secured for, like, after 2020, so it was kind of a clean run.
It's not all guaranteed, and the other interesting thing is that Birmingham have lost their the council leader the other day. So he had to resign amid a scandal related to that binge strike where it's suggested that he'd acted outside of his remit. But the link to Villa is that John Clancy, who was the leader who resigned, has been previously pictured with Dr. Tony at the council house, and he's really? Also enjoyed some hospitality at Villa Park since, which was declared in his gifts online, I noticed.
I've seen he's been schmoozed by Villa, obviously, when they've had to apply for the council. I think 2 weeks ago they finally got the clearance to have, I think it's 500 capacity location in, it's the Holt car park essentially, where they can, you know, put up food and entertainment pre-match for fans. But the capacity is 500, so I don't know if it's the first come, first serve, or if it'll be season ticket holders only, or what's going to happen there.
I think that's a bit strange, isn't it? Because surely about 500 people just standing in and around that area on a, you know, on like a nice day or something. You know, what are they going to do? They're going to close it off and then...
Yeah, because you could cross over there to get to your respective part of the ground. If you know, it's kind of a walkway through, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the fan consultation meeting, which happened before the Middlesbrough game with Villa CEO Keith Wynas. How do I put this? The inventor of the Villa engine was meant to be there, Steve Round, the football director, but he didn't. I think he was trying to get back in time from somewhere, but he didn't quite make it. Then there was the commercial director, is it Luke Corgan, and various other bods. And there was a question about the Villa engine, which you may have heard about already, which is going to be like essentially like the ethos of what Aston Villa is. It's something they've mentioned. It came from, I think, Steve Round's interview with Aston Villa, and he mentioned it there, and it's kind of grown roots from there and moved on. It's going to be something that's kind of instilled into the academy players from all ages. As soon as you sign to Villa, there is like a Villa way and all this kind of stuff. But it seems, I mean, any academy has a way, so the idea was to get some specifics on it, but because he wasn't there, we are still none the wiser beyond, you know, empty kind of sound bites. But Keith Wynas said there was potential to actually have a meeting dedicated to the Villa engine, which that should be quite good. Should beam it out live on YouTube or something. Anyway, so while we wait for the Villa engine, please do join as a patron to support the show, and we can build a My Old Man Said podcast engine and pay for a studio so we can do this without cars going past in the background. And also Dan's in an igloo, which he's built just to cut out outside noise as well.
Fantastic.
So that's why we need...
Proud of my igloo. It protects me from the outside world and all things Aston Villa related. It's like a nuclear bunker.
And also thanks to our first non-Aston Villa supporting subscriber, Rob Scott South, who's a Leicester fan. And obviously he's had better seasons than us in the last few years.
Fucking glory hunter.
Didn't they win the league when we finished bottom? I think he's become a patron out of sympathy, but we thank him nonetheless. And you too can become a patron by signing up on myomansaid.com. Just look for the patron option on the menu. And the good news is, as a thank you to all you patrons who do support the podcast and sign on specifically for the podcast, we're going to start dropping weekly and frequent little extra shows, whether they be snippets, whether they be little advances, as a love letter from us to you.
Negatron alert!
The Villa engine has become self-aware like Skynet! Terminate Dr. Tony! Terminate Vinus! Terminate Bruce! Appoint Governor Schwarzenegger! I'll be back!
Let's crack on with... We'll talk about basically the two games, and then we'll talk about the Bruce hysteria. Brentford 0-0. It was only one man of the match at that. Well, Brentford came, and before the game, I think the vibe on the streets was certainly some Villa fans saying, "Oh, we owe a team a beating. We're finally going to, you know, hammer somebody." And they looked at Brentford, second from bottom, lost three of their, from the outside point of view anyway, better players to the Blues in the final hours and days of the transfer window. But I think they had actually bought six players at the start of the window, so they kind of, let's say they future-proofed themselves for, you know, the outflux of players. But still, I mean, how many players could you name? I mean, I know, is it Ryan Wood, the red-haired guy?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned him, I noticed. I have to say that I didn't, you know, you don't have to know players necessarily on a team sheet, but they came and they...
On the counter, I mean, they were smart going forward, and they carved through Villa quite comfortably, and if it wasn't for Sam Johnston, never mind getting beat 1-0, we could have been 2 or 3 to the worst.
Well, we did ship 3 goals away last season to them, didn't we? The night we signed Hogan, and the frustration is that came off the back of sticking 4 past Norwich, 4 past Wigan, and we just seemed to stop doing what we've been doing, didn't we? It was very disjointed. Yeah, well, and
so far, the best thing about buying Scott Hogan was if he was playing in that game as their centre forward, he would have probably stuck at least one of his chances away. They just seemed so lacklustre. I think Bruce blamed it on fatigue from
jaded
the international
was the
break.
Word.
Yeah, jaded. And it's like, come on, it's September. And he admitted he should have maybe have gone for more players that weren't taken away for the international break, but it's like, you know, come on.
We only had 5 players away.
Exactly. What do you get paid to do?
Come on. That's the annoying thing.
Possession doesn't really mean anything. But in the context of Villa playing at home against a team that's second from bottom and they get more possession, completely destroyed us in terms of meaningful shots on target as well, about 5-1. So that was a concern. And then it's remedy time against Middlesbrough. And after watching Traore against Bolton and he's... Two quite incredible assists. I mean, miraculous.
He lost his mind in the opening minutes at Villa Park, didn't he?
So that was the main concern. And we mentioned Bjarnason. Well, the thinking was there.
Sorry, that just happens now when you say his name. That's fair. Carry on.
I noticed you gave him 2 out of 10 on your...
I did.
You're just setting up him as a scapegoat. I mean,
no,
we're talking about who's going to be the new scapegoat.
No.
But you are not helping. You are setting him up.
He needs... to help himself. He gets his 2 because he tries bloody hard, but he does some stupid ass things when he's on the ball. And I thought the Middlesbrough performance from him was perhaps the worst one. There's been games where he's, you know, I can forgive a guy for misplacing a pass here and there and whatnot, but it was...
To cut him some slack, the reason why I think...
Fuck the slack, tighten the noose.
I called this before the game and talking to somebody at Villa before the meeting, it was their guess as well. Bjarnason was going to play on left midfield because he runs around a lot, and he was there to basically shackle Adama running from deep, which was his most, it's his most effective. When you look at any highlights of Adama Traore, he's picking the ball up either at the halfway line or in his half with freedom, you know, with space in front of him, and he runs, and then suddenly it's like Benny Hill with like 3 or 4 players running after him, falling over, he falls over, he gets up, he keeps going, they fall over, and then he gets a cross in. That's why he was there. And then suddenly old Adama gets red carded after, was it 3 minutes? And then suddenly it's like, we don't really need Bjarnason, but do we publicly humiliate him and sub him now?
No, we'll do it at half time instead after he's missed the open goal.
Yeah. When they went down to 10 men Middlesbrough, suddenly, I mean, they were set up as Monk did with Leeds. He sets them up tight when they play away from home, and then they're obviously hoping to snatch something. Mm-hmm. But they were obviously going to get even tighter with 10 men, and we still just kept that one up front. I mean, he switched it at half time, but he kind of just went as, you know, as you were.
Yeah, I don't think we had all seized the initiative. As soon as Traore went off, because he's very much, you know, he's the player that everyone would be looking at, I think, to be their spark in the game. Yeah, and obviously a point to prove at Villa Park. Take that all away, he's gone. We never changed anything, did we? And
no.
Though I thought that we had plenty of attacking options on the pitch in terms of the attacking midfield with, you know, obviously Davis, who my view was didn't look at all fit. We know he's carrying an injury, but he really didn't look fit. But we didn't up our tempo, did we? I think half an hour passed after the sending off where literally nothing happened.
The tempo was lousy.
It was awful. And there's 2 things for me. That's tempo and that the recognition of actually you can seize upon this. And that is a genuine advantage. You know, in terrible conditions, they've lost their main talisman. And we let it pass and we allowed them back into the game ultimately, didn't we? And that's my worry for Bruce, because I'm very much on the fence with him. But I wouldn't understand why, particularly in that first half, I don't understand what our plan was, and I don't think there was a plan. We, as you say, we just carried on as though we were playing against 11, and there was no, on or off the pitch, there was no one driving us forward or anything. It was very frustrating to watch.
I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying Adama was their talisman, but in terms of being...
Adama, sorry.
I wouldn't go as far as saying Adama was their talisman, but from the point of view that the way that, as I said, Monk had set them up, he was definitely a serious outball. And if he obviously got off to the races, then he would put us under, you know, in big trouble, obviously, with Terry. That's why I paid my money to see Villa versus Middlesbrough, was to see Traore versus Terry. just out of morbid fascination, and I was denied that straight away. I almost left on the 4th minute mark.
The guy in front of me, there was an audible tut when the red card came out because he had money on him first goal scorer. So that sort of tells you the average Villa fan is. Brilliant! It is great to be.
Yeah, I'm sorry to fulfil stereotypes there.
But anyway, we get to see him again in a week, don't we? Do we? I don't know how that works. The ban.
I don't know. Does his ban extend to that?
I have no idea.
I pass caring about the rules of football now. They're just ridiculous. The second half, obviously the double switch. and I thought, we're going to win this. I couldn't see any of a result.
We should have won it. We should have won it. The amount of chances we had. Let's relive it, because we were sat next to one another at this point. And only
in the second half, people. I had a better seat, I must admit. But then we spotted each other and I thought, well, go on then.
Yeah, might as well suffer completely.
I'll get closer to the goal at the whole tender, just so I can see Hourihan's goal-bound effort get arse-shot.
Cannon off Hogan's arse.
And Snodgrass, our wonderful
45,000 pounds a week.
Missed from us about six yards out.
He didn't need to leather it that hard, and I can see the appeal of wanting to absolutely smash it in at the whole tender.
I think he was aiming at you, to be fair.
You bastard, trolling me.
He'd listen to what you thought of him and your indifference to the signing.
I like him. I hope he comes good.
The Snodgrass one hit the bar and then hit a defender in the head when it came off the bar.
Looped into the air and then Hourihan volleyed it into the crowd. When he probably had more time than he realised, to be honest, but he said in retrospect.
Well, he did that later on as well.
He did. We obviously had the comedy Hogan arse clearance. Because I was thinking about this afterwards. What was Hogan doing on the line?
Well, yeah, we talked about this at the game. I couldn't understand. Because what was he trying to do? Get in an offside position?
I don't know.
Because, he's interfering with play because he's standing on the bloody goal line in the middle of the goal.
I love that little video that's going around online, because even the defender gets out the way of the goal. So he's like, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
That'll fuck the accumulator.
He was on the Villa payroll and everything, you know, it was all going to plan. Keith Wynas, you know, it made sure it was going to happen on that minute as well. He had the defender paid off, and Hogan just didn't read the script, didn't get the memo.
Hogan also didn't get the script when, again, another one that's been, I think, brushed over a little bit, because Al Mohammadi came in for some stick for quite an indifferent performance, but he did break in the second half down the right wing. He squared a fantastic ball to Hogan, who, on about the 6-yard line, would you say, he completely airshot his effort when...
Yeah.
And he's had a few of those now, and you think, I do like Hogan, but that was one that I thought, wow, we've really got to be doing better in those.
You look back to the Wigan game, and, I mean...
It was a fantastic.
His goals were great, especially the second one was amazing. So you know, he's got it in his locker, as they say.
Oh, is that the thing we're maybe going to see with Hogan? Is he in that level of player where he maybe has that in him, but not consistently? Is that
what, like Savo Milosevic?
Whoa! He scored that one goal at Wembley.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, that's all I remember. I've blotted out the thousands of efforts that sailed into the Holt End.
Are the team playing on his frequency?
Absolutely not.
And vice versa.
Oh, absolutely. Codger
coming on, got a good reception from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to have had a free role. He was coming very deep, as if he was playing like from midfield for most of his 20-minute cameo.
Well, I was going to say, I saw it this way. He had to go so deep to see the ball. And that's something that Hogan doesn't do. Nor should he, really. But what do I want to say about Codger, really? He was interesting when he came on, and he had two great headers.
I think when it went down to 10 versus 10, Codger kind of swung the momentum in our favour, I thought. And the game was as if it was, you know, 11 versus 10 still. It didn't really make much of a difference when Lansbury went off, to be honest.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Stupid challenge, wasn't it?
There's two thumbs of thought here. He cost us the game by getting sent off.
Well, I don't know about that.
And the other one is, the other one is he's kind of taken the heat off Bruce a bit, because if we'd gone 90 minutes without scoring, then it's suddenly there's a bit of mitigation there. Yeah, well, we went down to 10 men within, you know, when Middlesbrough were going to get tired, so we couldn't really give him a battering at the end. It was a bit of a reckless one. And is that the type of challenge which normally is called taking one for the team? But he had defenders behind him to deal with the situation, which that's the thing I didn't quite get. And he could have just stayed on his feet.
I was surprised to see if you read it.
But I've looked at Traore's and it's not that bad as everybody kind of made it out to be.
No.
Bruce was very black and white on it. He said Traore was red and Lansbury shouldn't have been sent off. And of course, Villa are appealing it. I don't think it was that kind of clear cut that they were. One was right and one was wrong.
I thought Traore's was more reckless, but I'm still surprised he got a red, to be honest, especially at that stage of the game.
I think yellow card, one, calm it down, son.
Yeah, the Lansbury one. I thought it was a cynical challenge, but I was equally surprised to see the red come out. The referee probably took a view that it was not a nice challenge on the guy from behind, and they were on the break. So,
in conclusion, the referees in the Championship, I mean, they're a whole new level, aren't they?
They're so inconsistent, and it's something you can bemoan of referees in the Premier League to a degree. But we have seen some tragic refereeing, haven't we, the last season and a bit.
Some shockers.
G'day, villains. Welcome back to Jednak's Jangle. Guess who's back? Nah, not that fucking greedy codger bastard. It's yours truly, the real leader of the pride. The midfield outback is a changing beast. Who's this new guy? Snoddy. He's got a right fat head. And who's this Bjarnason? She's beautiful. But I can't abide women's football. But midfield, it's the least of my worries. As the alpha male of the pack, I've finally got competition for the Bodymore Heath Sheilas. That real pommy bastard, John Terry. It'll be a cockfight to the death. Now, pray to the god of beards for me, will ya?
Let's just end on this hysteria, and it kind of started from the third game, Bruce out hysteria, which it's bizarre. On Twitter, I mean, we touched on this last time. It's like he's a dead man walking. I mean, when I did a My Old Man Said survey, I think I mentioned this before, in terms of basically the question is, how long would you give Steve Bruce if Villa continue to be outside the top six? Get rid ASAP was only 5.1%.
I think that's interesting. I mean, I'm just looking at the other stats that I'm sure you're going to reel off in a minute. This is an interesting thing, that because we have a lot of interaction with fans on Twitter, and it's easy. It's a bit of a Tom Foxism coming. You can get a false narrative quite easily through social media.
From Twitter opinion, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's apparent to me when I actually sit back and I was, watching what we saw against Middlesbrough, that we desperately need to improve, but we could have won that game quite easily despite the issues that Bruce had in that game, through just some better finishing from the ample chances that we had. And that changes the narrative, doesn't it?
I mean, he's got a couple of things, like Snodgrass isn't going to be rusty as he was. Kodger, no. Again, coming back there, but both of them will improve. Jedinak, although he, to me, plays too deep. He's essentially playing as a third centre-back on the toes of Terry and Chester.
Completely agree with that, yeah.
I mean, Bruce needs to think about that role and, you know, allow him to go over the halfway line a bit more or something, because both Chester and especially Terry, for centre-backs, can you know, can play a little bit and their distribution's all right. So they're just standing there with their hands in the pockets while Jedinak's literally like a metre in front of them.
Yeah, it's silly.
Asking for the ball, and his distribution is really no better than, you know, Terry's. He's not like Glenn Hoddle spraying it around.
He's probably the third most competent of the three, isn't he, in terms of distribution.
So he's kind of, it's a wasted cog where you'd rather have a person further up asking for the ball and giving us more chance of actually winning the ball, you know, in the opposition's half, and an extra body up to, you know, link everything up. So it's a bit of a strange one. So there's other things to come. So there is sense in this survey in terms of, I think there's a realization of that. I mean, the next categories are kind of give him 10 games, which, I mean, maybe a bit of a boo-boo there, because I've also said give him until October, and that is essentially around 10 games. It's about 11 games.
But look at it this way. I'm going to jump ahead and just say, looking at the huge wedge of responses that you've had, almost 95% of people are saying at least 10 games.
Yeah.
Which would be fair, yeah. I think that, you know, if that's the average Villa fan, I think that's about what Di Matteo had last season. In fact, that's exactly what Di Matteo had last season.
Yeah.
And we will know him by that point. We will be able to judge him.
Sorry. Yeah. But to do a mystic Meg on it, as I think it's the biggest percentage, 35.5% have said, give him to the end of the year.
Yeah.
Now, the next, there's going to be two more points where the Aston Villa board and Dr. Tony will actually seriously consider getting rid of Bruce. It's not like, oh, we've got to beat Forest or else he's out, or we've got to beat Middlesbrough or he's out. That's not the case. The next natural drop-off point for a manager would be the international break, which is the 11 games mark. The one after that is obviously around Christmas, so then he gets the new January transfer window. The manager to come in. So you look at the fixtures to come, and I think there's enough there. I'm talking specifically Villa at home to Bolton, Villa away to Burton, those two games at the end of the month, and then you've got another home game against Forest, and then away against Barnsley. I mean, that could go any which way. But I think there's enough in those four games for Bruce to, let's say, win a couple at least, and that will keep him in until at least the new year. So I think, until about Christmas. So I think December time's the first time that they'll look at this.
I tend to agree with that, but I think that's the rational way of looking at it. The bits that worry me is that there's an irrational side to football, and I do...
Well, you only have to look at Crystal Palace for that.
Well, that is the irrational side of football, because, you know, you go to sleep with De Boer as your manager after four games and they were unlucky not to win, and then you wake up and Roy Hodgson, 70 years old, is...
He's lying next to you, naked.
Beer goggles, isn't it? I think with Bruce, the thing about it is a big issue for me, because I can sound like I'm desperate for Bruce to stay in post. He has to improve quickly. I think that's because there's my opinion is the owner has potentially an itchy trigger finger on him. I do get that, because I think he's emotionally so invested in the club through Twitter and through these interactions with fans and whatever. And
we've been talking about his use of Twitter from the very beginning, and
I think it's so unhealthy.
I don't think it's helpful to put an angry emoji face on. You're basically feeding the pitchfork brigade. You're creating up more pressure on the team and obviously the manager. And, you know, I never wanted Bruce in the first place. And I think once we're in the Premier League, we've suddenly, you know, we haven't got somebody who's going to enforce the Villa engine, because, you know, he's not going to change his spots. So I was never in for it. But for Villa to get promoted at the moment, the best bet is the manager who just signed all the summer transfer acquisitions, because obviously they're there to service his aim. And obviously he's done it before. So at the moment, but it obviously once it gets to that kind of 10, 11 games, and if you're not winning games, then we've only won 1 in 7. So if we're 1 in 10, then we've got problems.
The facts are as they are, aren't they? I mean, and he'll be, you know, if it's going to happen, I think it will happen sooner rather than later. The thing that I'm so worried about, and this is where I think people can misconstrue that I've got some desperation to see Bruce forever installed as the manager. No, I haven't, because I think it's been as I say, poor.
Yeah, over the 40-plus games.
Well, I still think of that awful January through March period that we had. You know, we had enough last season to get into the playoffs, in my view. It was only through chronic loss of form and no plan that we didn't manage that. But we've been there. This season, the thought of Bruce failing and being sacked, I mean, that's not the issue for me. The issue is what happens next. You know, you sack him in a week, you sack him by Christmas. We're no further forward than we were last season. And who's the next natural person? Because then you're into this ridiculous, almost like a tombola of managers where people go, oh, well, obviously it's going to be David Moyes or obviously it's going to be Sam Allardyce. And I don't think necessarily it is. And people have even started saying things like, well, Dean Smith's organised Brentford very well. Yeah, but this is Aston Villa. You know, is this,
well,
what's our aspiration genuinely?
The next manager move will be, if we've still got a shot of it, it would probably be like for like. There's only two choices here. There's either a like-for-like manager, and that's basically an old guard, you know, whether it's the usual crowd, Nigel Pearson, Allardyce, you know, as unimaginative as it gets, or you're starting to look at, okay, let's get this Villa engine starting, and you start to get the young manager in, who you actually have some kind of belief in, but suddenly that you're starting to look at, should he have done this right at the start? Because he's got to start from scratch. And half of this team will be dumped at the end of the season or will want to leave, like your Codgers, your Chesters, you know, Terry's out anyway. There's a few on their last year of the contract. Suddenly the parachute payments are dried up. We've just got the last one, which is, what's that, like 20% of the... And so the young guy or whoever it is taking over, it's not about getting promotion the next season. It's about rebuilding, and they'll start to spin the 2 or 3, 4 year type thing. And we will be like Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds and Forest have been before us. And all these swanky marketing men working for Villa now, thinking they're still a Premier League team, are going to get a bit of a surprise. And we're going to have to almost declassify ourselves in our own head. So the stakes are big this season.
Well, I think that's the thing that can easily be lost on folks, really. The reality of the situation changes somewhat, I think, this season, in that we won't have the financial clout that we did. We will, through the nature of the wage burden that we would have, you know, there'd be a natural turnover of players. And it's about sustainability, isn't it? That we'd suddenly find ourselves in a position where actually we'd be just like every other championship team that's down here and has been stuck down here or in limbo, and faced with the prospect that, hang on a minute, every year there's another dumping of three teams coming out of an increasingly richer Premier League, where every year on year that dump of money becomes even bigger. As I say, my fear isn't, it's Bruce is almost irrelevant to this, that it could be any manager in at the moment, but the one thing we haven't had throughout the last 6, 7, 8 seasons now is any measure of stability at the football club. And sacking another guy just doesn't make... I can see why we might arrive at that. I can't, you know, and that will be Bruce's fault ultimately, whether he, you know, if you can't go and, you know, looking at the fixtures that are coming, if you can't beat teams like Barnsley, Forest, Burton and Bolton, then, you know, judgment will be made upon you upon results. But what we can't do is be lurching game to game as a team, as a club, going, sack him, oh, he's got, you know, this sort of barometer of this binary way of thinking. The worst outcome is that Bruce fails, irrelevant of what you think of him, because we would just be back at square one.
Because if he gets us promoted, whether it's skin of a tooth by the playoffs, then we go into phase two of the Villa board's plan, and that might actually include getting rid of him in the Premier League, because suddenly they'll have an influx of money, or maybe they'll look at him as somebody who could potentially keep us up, even though his track record in that respect isn't that great. So they might give him another season to stabilize, but they'll be then looking for a long term, you know, what is the Villa identity and how do we get from team that's promoted to one that's challenging and being inventive and evolving into basically a team that's going to challenge for Europe again.
Well, I think you'd see one of two things, and we've spoke about it in brief before, and perhaps it's getting a little ahead of ourselves, but you know, I think if we got promoted, I think you'd see like a Southampton type response that wasn't very fashionable when they got rid of Adkins when they got promoted. But
yeah, exactly.
They took a view that they thought actually he was the guy to get us out of the championship, and thank you very much, but we're going to go with Pochettino now.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other side of the coin, where we're at Bournemouth, who took the view that actually we're investing in a young manager. But as soon as they got promoted, they offloaded pretty much the entire promotion squad, or, you know, they became peripheral players, didn't they?
Yeah.
and have stabilized on that basis.
It's kind of it's a no-win situation for Bruce, but don't tell him that. Don't take away his incentive to get us promoted.
Well, he's only on a one-year rolling contract as well, so
you get a nice juicy bonus, though, won't he?
And a Brucey bonus.
You'll get a Brucey bonus.
God, I'll close the door on my way out.
And so will John Terry. So all those Bruce out brigade. It's
a bigger picture, isn't it? I can see why people would want him out.
Yeah, but let's say he wins two or three of those the next four games. Mm. I think that's enough for him to stay, and we're still in touch, and mm-hmm. I think he will stay. I still think at the moment we've got more chance of getting promotion with him now, with a team that he's just got in, essentially. And, you know, one of those players that he got in the summer has only just started. Our main striker last season has just come back and hasn't actually started a game this season. So the pieces are starting to fall into place. So it's his last chance, and he should potentially know that. So I think he makes it to Christmas before anything serious starts to happen.
I think so. And I think that if that happens, it's reasonable for him to be questioned. And, you know, at this level of professional football, I would have to assume that he's performance managed, isn't he? That his remit is promotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, there has to be set milestones within the season. And I would have thought, I would be surprised at this juncture if the club had said anything other than, well, unless we're in the relegation zone or we haven't got a point, you know, that sort of reaction.
Yeah.
That would prompt something. But here and now, after seven games, yes, it's not desirable, but should have beaten Hull, and we should have beaten Middlesbrough for my money. And yes, there are issues and there are reasons and faults and flaws of Bruce over that period, but I don't think we need to be burning down the club at this point. You know, we just need to need to sit tight for a little bit longer. I know that's not going to please people. Really.
There you go, folks. That is the rational voice of the My Old Man Said podcast telling you how it should be. If you disagree, then give us some shizen on Twitter at Aston Villa Pod. Also, if you're a fan of this podcast, please do share. Please do retweet it on Twitter, and also share on Facebook to increase our Claret and Blue fun-loving family.
And also, I need more donors because I need more organs to harvest.
Oh, you're so weird.
Yes, well, you knew this already.
Until next time.
Until the sacking special.
Yeah, until they ignore our rational advice and sack him immediately after Dr. Tony issues a tweet with five angry emoji heads.
And a picture of him with his...
It's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.